Hey guys, what's up? It's Christopher. And though you cannot see it, you need to know that the woman you are about to hear is very, very pregnant.
Well, so, you might all have noticed something different. I'm, how'd you say, in a family way. There's been buckets of morning sick. And kick after kick after kick after kick. But someday, any week or day now is a miracle of creation. I couldn't be more thrilled to welcome here to planet Earth. There's a miracle that's inside me. Blog. I'm giving birth to a mommy blog. I'll make the world aware. There's so much wisdom I can share on my mommy blog. About to launch, it's my mommy blog. I've learned HTML, the background six shades of photoshopping pics I've found on my Pinterest board. I've been practicing for when my special day comes, leaving Facebook comments that are basically unedited blog posts already because they're 17 glorious paragraphs full of funny and relatable base-focused anecdotes. If I'm such a star while I'm pregnant, mommy blog, with opinions left and right, and I know I am always right. It's a miracle of creation, a miracle. Kill me now, cause this pregnancy's been horrendous. Check my these varicose veins. Internal organs move from here to there, from here to here. My baby's here. My baby's also right there running our TikTok dances. Oh, I've been told when they say push, I'll push more than just a baby into this world. My obstetrician and my midwife and my nurses and my doula and my husband and my sisters in the internet are all going to witness me. Share your brand on my Instagram, but only if you generously sponsor my birth on Patreon, and only if you FedEx me a gift bag with lots of moist towelettes. No samples, only full-size products, thank you, cause I'm going to have a very, 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 very influential mother. Critiques of my mom. mommy blog. With herbal supplements, my mommy blog. Mother, comma, I. It's the miracle of creation. Like and subscribe. Stay blessed.
The lilting soprano voice you just heard belongs to a singer who made her Green Mill debut this past Saturday, the wonderful Sarah Vanderplug. The tune was composed by that amazing funny man at the keys, Robbie Ellis. You are listening to the Machete Audio Magazine for November 20th, 2021. Thanks so much for tuning in. But more importantly, thank you so much for your generous monthly contribution that helps keep this ridiculous little street pageant afloat. Okay, I could not be more excited to present this week's audio magazine to you because our secret special off-the-menu guest headliner this past weekend was our old friend Janine Garofalo, who made her fourth Green Mill appearance. We were thrilled. She was hilarious and so delightful, as you'll hear at the end of this episode. But first, she was also flanked by a bevy of wonderful writer comedians, one of whom you're about to hear from, weighing in on the topic of the newest Real Housewives franchise. Here's Sohrab Farouzesh.
How you guys doing? You guys good? You guys hanging in there? I'm not entirely sure why I'm going first, because I'm going to do like 7 minutes of race jokes, but we'll see how this goes. But first of all, before we get too deep into this, am I the only Middle Eastern person in here? Are there any more? All right, me and like three people in the back. Hell yeah. Don't let any more in. That's the limit. Any more come in here. This is technically a hookah lounge. Let's watch out. We're going to start selling cell phone accessories back there pretty soon if no one's careful. Gonna be a lot of stuff like that. So I like doing the show. I think this is the perfect show to talk about race for 7 minutes because this is a lot of very guilty white liberals in here, and I feel like we can really get away with it. Here, I'll prove it. I'll prove to you that this is the guiltiest, most liberal. Sir, give me $10. Give me $10, right? Sir, because of Islamophobia, give me $10. There we go. See, he's doing it. Hurry up. I got a show to do. Give me my $10. Thank you very much. You see this shit? This is how I love the show. Bam. Thank you very much. You did your part. I appreciate that. This is a very diverse room. No, this is. This is a very diverse. We have liberals, we have neoliberals, we have socialists, we have leftists. There's probably even a few Republicans from Naperville who want to leave but can't because it's real crowded, right? And they should do more research the next time they're on TripAdvisor. But good news, white people. We're not making fun of you guys today. You guys get the day off, all right? We're making fun of Middle Eastern people. We're going in on brown people. I don't like The Real Housewives. I've never seen an episode, but once I heard that they're gonna do one in Dubai, I was like, that's the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life. Let's talk about this. I'm sure you guys don't know much about the Middle East, probably just what's in movies, right? And every time there's a scene about the Middle East, they play that one song, right? Yeah, they play this song. This song plays and it cuts to a village, right? And it's got that really shitty, grainy filter where everything looks like Breaking Bad, right? And then maybe there's a camel somewhere. I didn't even see a camel until I came here, all right? You guys don't know shit about the Middle East. Let me tell you a little bit. First of all, this show is going to be in the United Arab Emirates, all right? That's like Florida with Sharia law. It's the craziest place in the goddamn world, right? Everybody in there is an oil tycoon. It's bananas. It's a very insane place. It's Florida without meth. I don't know. It's proof that if you take alcohol away, rich people will be just as annoying. It doesn't matter. Alcohol and meth really don't make a... If you go on YouTube, 25% of YouTube is just rich Arabs in the Emirates, like crashing Lamborghinis and ATVs. It's wonderful. It's my favorite thing to do. Their United Arab Emirates is the third largest or the third richest country in the Middle East. To give you an idea of how rich that is, they convinced the executive producer of The Real Housewives, who is gay and Jewish, to move his show to the United Arab Emirates, where it's illegal to be both. You can't be either of those things. I don't even think Arabs knew that Jews could be gay. I'm sure that was a huge... They were like, we only have so much hate. Like, Jesus, let's... This is bananas. I didn't know this could be a thing. That's how crazy the Emirates is. They have anti-gay laws, right? And I'm not talking about your everyday Arabs. I'm talking about, like, the rich, crazy ones, right? They have anti-gay laws. But for the next couple months, their main export is going to be entertainment for the gays. It doesn't make any sense. You know what's the funniest thing about this? This show might cure Islamophobia, which would really piss off Muhammad in paradise. He's going to be like, I waged 200 years of holy wars to spread Islam, and fucking Bravo is the thing that makes it palatable. This is insane, right? You guys are being good sports. This is fun. This is good. Here's what I think. I'm only gonna give one opinion, and my one opinion that I think this whole thing is a PR stunt, right? I think it's pretty obvious that that's what's going on. The Dubai wants your tourist money, so they made a really smart play. They're gonna embed themselves into American pop culture, and they're gonna make the country seem like this. And it is a paradise. It's beautiful, but only if you're like a dude, right? That's kind of the only way that it rules. It's the only way you get to drive ATVs into other ATVs, right? So everybody loves reality TV. Here's what I say when I say this might cure Islamophobia. Because if they aired this shit on Fox News, right? Could you imagine like Midwestern Republican women talking about the Real Housewives of Dubai? They're like, oh my God, can you believe what Iqbal al-Inbasani, his wife said to Omar al-Sharif al-Uthmani Sr.? That was crazy. Praise be to Allah. That was the craziest episode in the world. That's what eventually could happen if they play this shit right, all right? People might actually convert. This is going to be great. I went on the internet and I actually looked this show up and I watched some of the other shows just to give my opinion on how they should cast this, right? I think they should cast locals because I heard a rumor they were going to put like two white women in this, which doesn't make any sense. That's annoying. You guys have to be in everything. You can't give us one thing. This is insane. I think they need to cast all locals in this. And here's a couple. It's going to be a logistical nightmare if they do the show correctly. Because in a regular season of Housewives, there's like 8 housewives. But these rich motherfuckers, they got 20 wives. It's going to be a cast of 150 women. Also, a lot of the show is them arguing in cars. Who's driving the cars, right? Are we going to have to get people to drive the cars? Women aren't allowed to drive, I don't think, over there. Let's do a couple more, and then let me run out of here before I die. Here's another thing. They do those really funny, like, catchphrases, right? Like when in the opening credits of the show, like, you know, a housewife will be like, I'm this, right? What are those going to look like in Death to the Great Satan America, right? That's going to be like... Help, my husband has my passport and I can't leave. Great, you guys are being wonderful. Listen, I'm not saying that we can't do a housewives in another country, especially in the Middle East. I think we can. I'm just annoyed that we picked the James Bond villain of countries. I would have much rather preferred pick Iran, where I'm from. That would have been a really fun... You know, everyone's eating a lot of greasy, delicious food, and, you know, everyone's working class. It'd be a lot more fun. I also want to say thanks to everybody here for letting... And we didn't take any easy jokes, right? We didn't call anyone a terrorist. That's, like, the laziest joke. I hate that. That joke doesn't make any sense. People call me a terrorist, and I don't think that works because I'm terrible at keeping a secret, and that's very important when it comes to terrorism, right? You got to keep your mouth shut, and I can't do that. Like, if I was a terrorist, I would have fucked everything up September 8th. I would have ruined the whole thing. Right? just drunk at a strip club. Like, yeah, we're here for work. We got some big plans. All right, you let me end it on a 9/11 joke. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, our brilliant friend.
That was the very funny Sohrab Firouzesh. And this is actually kind of a seamless transition because we're about to go from real married women of television to fictional single women of television. Here's one of the most famous single gal pals in the history of the medium, formerly of Sex and the City. It's Samantha Jones.
Oh, safety first, fashion forward. Hi, my name is Samantha Jones, and I'd like to wish you all a belated Happy International Men's Day, because honey, I love an international man. And before you woke teenagers come after me for fetishizing the ethnics, just know that I've practiced multiculturalism in the bedroom since before you were even born. Politics may be local, kids, but this pussy is global. You might be asking yourself why I'm here, but on December 9th, you'll be asking where I am. You see, my gaggle of ex-friends will be returning to television on HBO Max in a reboot of Sex and the City, but they won't be including me. Let's get something straight. I'm not hurt. You see, I was on the real HBO, but I'm a bit confused. This reboot is being buzzed about as exploring the lives of women in their 50s as they navigate their sexuality, as though this is some sort of novel thing. May I remind you, I was in my 50s when I was on Sex and the City, and I was very sexual. And I can't imagine that Carrie, Miranda, and even that slut Charlotte could do it better than me. I didn't just show my tits and ass, I gave full bush. Yes, the girls will be back in all their glory, only this time, Carrie Bradshaw has 47 black friends. But don't forget when Carrie Bradshaw had one black friend. Her name was Louise. Carrie gave her the fuggliest Louis Vuitton bag in the history of the world. Now, I realize I'm in the Midwest, so let me explain in terms you can understand. Carrie gave her one black friend a half-used Bath and Body Works gift basket in Japanese cherry blossom scent and a single lint-covered candle. I'm already bracing for all of the articles and tweets, and articles made up entirely of tweets, about how refreshing it is to see how naturally Carrie Bradshaw has aged. Huh. The woman has kept the Marlboro Company in business since the 1980s. That's not aging, darling. Carrie's face has been smoked like a piece of beef brisket. But I digress. I'm sure Sex and the City will be received with rave reviews. People love a reboot. All anyone can talk about these days is the latest episode of The L Word, right? You're watching it, right? Are there any dykes in the room? You're watching it, right? You're not watching it. We know. They know. In light of all the extra creative time on my hands, I've decided to write a column of my very own on a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. Men. I must say, it's quite fortuitous that yesterday was International Men's Day, because this week, men are back, baby, in a real way. And I, for one, am ecstatic. One might even say orgasmic. Watching men be canceled was deeply unpleasant and inconvenient for me. I mean, sure, I was disgusted at Weinstein, of course, We all were. And by we, I mean those of us who willingly slept with Harvey. Don't be shocked. We exist. We exist and we're bored. Suddenly, all the naughty ones skip town, except for Alec Baldwin, who was busy impregnating his Spanish bitch wife for the 16th time. And that was no fun for this Samantha. I mean, sure, Hoda was still in town, and I love a little sapphic rendezvous with a woman who knows how to read the news. But come on, I'm a cis hetero woman, as you kids like to call it, and I need some cock. Preferably, the kind of cock who doesn't introduce himself using he, him, or they, them, but Mr. and Massive. Now that men are back and we know for certain they can no longer be canceled, someone is gonna need to start fucking these men, and it can't just be me. Think about it, ladies. There weren't incels in the 90s. I know it's posh these days to hate men, but if you can't beat them, you can certainly beat them off on the Clark bus and use a fabulous Italian leather bag to block the driver's view. I see we have a room full of Charlottes and Mirandas. Face it, ladies, I don't mean to be dark, but we've got too many guns and too many guys who aren't getting laid. And with the Democrats in charge of dealing with the guns, our only choice is to deal with you know what. And it can't just be me. I fucked an entire island. One of you here today is going to have to meet Steve Bannon in that booth after the show and fellate him under the table, sucking his hard cock while he listens to jazz music. The safety of our nation depends on it. And I know you're going to say that my theory is off, my theory that we'd all have a more peaceful country if we fucked more men. You're going to say, well, what about Alec Baldwin? That man fucks his Spanish bitch wife so much they have 21 children, and he still managed to shoot someone. Well, to that I say, his bitch wife ain't Spanish. She's from Boston. Men are back. Naughty, virile, angry, throbbing, dangerous, and deranged. Men like Chris Christie, whose wall-to-wall body appeared wall-to-wall on cable news this week to promote his book. And ladies, he spoke out of both sides of his mouth in a way that only someone who likes to both copulate and be copulated can. Men are back. Men like the judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, who bellowed like an angry daddy at the prosecution. If there's one thing I know about angry daddies, especially angry bald daddies with glasses, is that they are guaranteed to make you bellow back while breaking your back. And speaking of broken backs, Jake Gyllenhaal is in the headlines once again. And this time he's taking some heat from Taylor Swift for dating her at a tender age when he was 9 years her senior. The only thing Taylor should be disappointed about is that she slept with him while he was still in his 30s. Imagine the lucky 21-year-old NYU student, film student even, who will get to have Jake Gyllenhaal's grizzled and bruised hands cupping her breasts in the year 2049. I get wet just thinking about it. Speaking of sopping wet mouths, did anyone catch Madison Cawthorn, U.S. rep from North Carolina, and guy who definitely beats off in a mirror while glaring at himself? This guy's really wild. I saw him pinch some dip from a jar of skull while he was in the Congress and place it into his mouth. And I kept watching and watching and watching, and I never saw him spit. And to that I say, hashtag, me too. Moan and groan, but men are back. Men like Tucker Carlson, Matt Gaetz, and Chicago's very own retired police union president, John Catanzara, who now intends to run for mayor. John's the kind of guy who will go down on you for an hour after you teach him how to read. Sorry, turning myself on up here, losing my pages. I'm sorry if all this talk of men makes you uncomfortable, but facts are facts, and facts don't care about your feelings. That's what Ben Shapiro likes to say after he removes the double-sided dildo from both of our asses. Men are back. They're back and they need our help, not our leadership. VP Kamala Harris was president for what? An hour this week? How did that go, gals? Now come on, my boss lady gals. Take it from the original boss lady babe. The boys are back in town. And again, if you can't beat them, you can beat them off on the Clark bus using an Italian leather bag to block the view. Thank you.
Samantha Jones Green Mill.
Samantha Jones was created and played for the Paper Machete by the indispensable Aaron Diamond. Last week was obviously just a horrible week in the headlines if you were just an average, everyday American. But it was probably a really good week if you ran a boutique PR firm that specializes in public image crisis management. Here to round up last week's headlines are those PR gurus, Betty and Mortimer Klein Waldsworth.
And I'm Mortimer McHenry Klein Waldsworth.
Lead plaintiffs in State of Texas v. Big Bird.
And co-owners of
McHenry Klein Waldsworth Klein Waldsworth Public Relations LLC. Folks, let me start off by saying, fuck Big Bird. Fuck Big Bird.
Fuck Big Bird.
I think I speak for everyone when I say Big Bird can go fuck himself. Not only for getting the vaccine, but also because of his cloaca.
Mm-hmm. Do you understand how bird sex works?
I do not.
Okay. Folks, it's been an intense week for our public relations clientele. The nation watched as one vile little asshole was put on display, pinched out some waterworks, and was somehow allowed to walk free despite all of the bloodshed. But enough about Biden's colonoscopy.
Enough! Enough! Let's talk about this week's hero and our favorite client. Oh my gosh, he's our favorite, isn't he?
Oh, he's so good.
Isn't he, Mortimer? He's our favorite. Judge Bruce Schroeder of the Rittenhouse trial.
You love him.
You love him. You're gonna love him. You know, Judge Bruce, who looks like a newborn ostrich, became a man, then became attained. Judge Bruce.
Sure, you bleeding heart, empathy-having justice fetishists may say Judge Bruce is biased or incompetent or doesn't know how a phone works.
But we ask you this, America. Do you know how my phone works?
Do you?
Because if you do, I need some help. Someone keeps texting me these pictures of a dick dressed up as a turkey, and I can't get the costume off of it. For those of you who don't see it in the back audible description, it's a picture of unshaved balls and a penis with googly eyes right under the, what do you call that? The Franz deference?
That's the Franz deference, baby.
The Franz deference.
Yeah.
And on the shaft is a little turkey beak. And The balls are where a turkey waddle would be.
Yeah. So, Betty, two things. One, Betty, that's my penis.
Oh, Mortimer!
And two, those are shaved balls. That's as shaved as I can get them.
That's a oh, you missed a spot, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, and it's got little feet under the balls. I just noticed. Very nice. You know, I didn't recognize it with the getup. A master of disguise. Anyway, back to the trial.
We were surprised that people were surprised by this verdict. Wisconsin famously has no redeeming qualities. And they're sure as hell not about to start for Black Lives Matter protesters.
Come on. And for every comfortable white liberal here concerned that this verdict will create open season for the neo-Nazi psychos to assault protesters, don't worry. Just keep your not protesting.
Exactly.
I mean, yes, that's obviously what's going to happen to people on the ground, but you specifically are still safe to have your Ravenswood Manor groundskeeper plant a little yard sign that says, "In this house, we believe love is love. Mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And critical race theory is our one true Allah." You're still allowed.
You're
You'll be
still
fine.
Allowed.
You'll be
it's fine.
Fine. You'll be fine. It's Stop fine. Worrying. Stop posting on stories.
And
You'll be
folks,
fine.
Don't worry. Rittenhouse isn't going to turn into another George Zimmerman. That is so gauche.
Gauche.
Folks, we're thinking he'll turn into more of like an alt-right Pete Davidson type.
Sexy, sexy, sexy.
A bunch of awful tattoos, high-profile trysts with Marjorie Taylor Greene, rolling down roller coasters with the Kent State gun girl.
Just imagine Rittenhouse publicly threatening suicide on Twitter. And who knows, maybe some enterprising individual with good aim might take him up on that. satire and parody,
satire and parody,
satire and parody, satire and parody, satire and parody.
Such a hard week for white boys and a hard week for white men.
Just look at our favorite client. Oh, he's
favorite.
Our favorite client.
He is our favorite.
Oh, Judge Bruce is great, but this one's our favorite client.
Oh my God, he's our
favorite. Britney Spears' father and one of Ursula's collection of damned mer people. Mr. Jamie Spears. He has officially lost the conservatorship over his asset.
Daughter.
Oops, I did it again.
Yeah. You have to understand, we named our daughter Asset.
Yes, because she is such a benefit come tax season.
And because Asset is French for stop sign.
Mortimer, do you know how French works?
I do not.
Oh. Okay. Anyway, we watched in horror as this gentle grandfather was forced to sign over control in what some called a milestone for women everywhere. But we knew it could only be so short-lived. But enough about Biden's colonoscopy.
Jamie Spears is still fighting. Recent court filings have shown that he and the firm that managed Britney's estate are still refusing to turn over documents related to her 60-some-odd million dollars and how they were managed. But, boy, don't try to front. I know just what you are, a hero.
Yes, he better work, bitch.
Oh, he is a genie in a bottle, baby.
Do you, you sure on that last one?
I am not.
Do you understand how the Britney x Tina conflict works?
I do not.
Okay. Look, yes, Britney's lawyers have requested documents showing how her money was managed. But they didn't request any documents on how her money was mismanaged, and that was all of her money.
If you're looking for investment and tax records, you're not going to find it among the crumpled receipts for Patek Philippe watches and disposable Bengal tigers. You're just not.
Patek Philippe, of course, is the off-brand Patek Philippe.
I don't know what words are.
Philippe Patek.
Philippe Patek?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Listen. Knick-knack, patty-whack,
I will never
Philippe
afford
Patek.
This watch. I don't need to know the name.
Oh, no, that's fine. Listen, it's such a hard week for white men. Also a hard week for white women doing an impression of white men.
That's right. We were back in court this week with our favorite client.
Oh, favorite client. Okay, Britney Spears' father is our favorite client, but this is our favorite.
Theranos CEO and human portrait whose eyes follow you wherever you go, Elizabeth Holmes.
Our favorite. We love her. We love her. She's honestly amazing. One of the hardest people for us to represent, though.
It's really hard.
Unlike our other clients who are accused of victimless crimes, Elizabeth defrauded the most vulnerable. Billionaire venture capitalists.
In fact, let's get a moment of silence for all of the capital gains never realized.
Shut up, everybody, shut up, everybody, shut, up. Everybody, shut up. Shut up, moment shut up. Of silence.
Moment of silence
shut up.
For shut all up. Of the capital
shut
gains.
Shut up, shut up. Shut up.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I mean, think about it, folks. When someone loses their minimum wage job and finds themselves out in the cold, hungry, and living on the streets, how much money have they lost? 50, maybe 60 cents? I seriously don't know, I'm asking.
No, we don't know. Meanwhile, Elizabeth defrauded investors out of $700 million. Mathematically, that is 14 bajillion times worse than a single mother becoming homeless.
That's data, that is data research.
That is data research. 538, give us a call.
If Elizabeth defrauded investors, she didn't, and if you're asking how do we know?
Well,
turkey dick, look at the turkey dick. Everybody look at the turkey dick.
This has been such a hard time for Elizabeth. Remember, she is a college dropout, and her only fallback is moving back to Houston with her father, who is the vice president at Enron.
Living in Houston? I bet she did not saw that coming. Let me try that one again, okay?
Sure, yeah. Try it as many times as it takes to make it hit.
Living in Houston, I bet she did not saw that coming. Still didn't go as hard as I want. Wait, one more time,
Let's give it another shot.
Living in Houston, I bet she did not saw that coming. There it is. Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay,
there it is.
I believe you. Believe me. Mm-hmm. I keep touching the mic with my face and I hate it.
Later tonight, we'll make out under a basket of hand sanitizer. Yeah, and that.
Gobble, gobble, bitch.
Folks, we're not worried. This jury in Elizabeth's case is smart. And the further they dive into this, snaking past the remnants of scandal and battle scars, they'll find an overall picture that, while sometimes troubling, is hardly unusual compared to its peers.
But enough about Biden's colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. We've got to get to a lunch and learn. We're reviewing Biden's colonoscopy. Bye.
Betty and Mortimer Klein Waldsworth were created and played for the Paper Machete by Atra Azdu and Gary Pascal. And finally, our headliner, who really needs no introduction, it's Janine Garofalo.
Thank you. Thank you. Was I anti-Semitic in that? In that narrative.
It was unclear.
I just cancel. I just canceled myself before. I wasn't quite sure. I couldn't quite hear it, but I feel like I might have said something anti-Semitic. I want you to know I am not anti-Semitic, and as I've said here on this very stage, I hate Alan Dershowitz, but I am not. Can't even watch Reversal of Fortune anymore with Ron Silver. The late Ron, although he went right wing too, so. Any hoozle, here's my comedy process. I don't know, Where I should start? This is my streetwise Chicago map. I walked here from Wicker Park, and I don't like to exercise formally, so I make myself walk really fast from point A to point B. Unfortunately, I sweat. I don't like this kind of talk. It's vulgar, so please forgive me. I sweat a great deal. I'm sorry. I don't like this. I don't like this kind of talk. But I wear natural deodorant, which is like not wearing deodorant. But I want to be on the right side of history, deodorant-wise, and that's an easy one. Now, here's what really may be vulgar, and again, forgive me. As I approach life's third chapter, ARP, anyone? AARP? ARP? 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 ARP. Now, you kids will never be able to retire, but do join, because you get a free backpack. You get a free backpack. It's a lot of paperwork, but you... A weekend duffel also, and a sporty tote. I love a sporty tote, unironically. Anybody will tell you that. Totally gray under here, totally gray. But it's not Silver Fox like Fanula Flanagan, James Brolin, Colin Farrell. prematurely gray, but it's an... I'm so sorry, I have to do it. It sounds like a fish tank. But I had to do it. I'm sorry, I'm not a strong joke writer, but I'd be great at a filibuster. You'll have to concede that point. I would be amazing at a filibuster were there such a call for freelance filibustering, because I'm extremely chatty, and there's many, many tangents, if you'll pardon my tangents. And if I had a podcast, which I don't, because it's not a civic obligation, I might call it Pardon My Tangent. And then I frequently forget what I was going to say. We may get to that. And you know, why have the notes? Why have them? Why have them? I actually should have, but anyway, so I just like good old-fashioned maps. And yet I still got lost because I'm a poor orienteer. But that's what I was going to say. My body chemistry has changed. Since I am not Gen X, I am tail-end baby boomer. But I wish... I know that automatopoeia, I know. Believe me, I hear you, because I'm not ready for Eileen Fisher. I don't know what to do. This is definitely inappropriate. I hear you. I'm not ready for Eileen Fisher. There's more to do at Urban Outfitters. For this yesterday, near the Roby, that one, Urban Outfitters, in Wicker Park, Bucktown. Get a load of me, Bucktown. Got this, it's a pullover, but I made it into a shrug. And didn't even want it. It was on sale for like $12. Couldn't afford not to buy it, is what I'm saying. It's paid for itself just in this brief time we've had together. I'm gonna owe it money by the time I skedute. But anyway, life's third chapter. There's a special about it on Lakeshore PBS, serving Northwest Indiana and the Chicagoland. And by the way, Tom Skilling, they were very rude to him. They were very rude to Tom Skilling. I believe he's your meteorologist on Channel 9 News. It was Thursday night. He was trying to talk about the lunar eclipse, and I believe Micah and the other fellow were rude. He seemed like a very nice gentleman. I don't know. Is his name Skilling? Skilling? Well, do write your congressman. Because what I saw, ill-mannered. He was showing photos of people who sent in pictures of the lunar eclipse, and you could see in their little boxes the two other anchors like this. So you could see them heaving a sigh. I don't like boo, cancel. Boo, cancel. Boo, cancel. That's, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm getting, this is annoying, I realize. It's not shtick, it's very, very annoying. That I can't get to a point succinctly and with clarity. I do apologize. But no bill shall pass. No bill shall pass. Here's where I should have started. Here's where I should have started. And if I don't see the light, because a little bit of Garofalo goes a long way, please shout my name. Here's where I should have started. I'm sorry, am I shouting? Is it too loud? Because it sounds a little bit tinny. Some of the other artists were not modulating the mic correctly. Over in that area, I feel they were a bit loud. Very talented. I'm not going to name names. I don't remember anyone's name, but I'm old. But the Oh, the reason I started talking about the gray hair, please put a pin in the wisdom I was going to say, but the reason I started even saying about the gray hair, I don't like to brush my hair. Unfortunately, I get unbidden dreadlocks, unsolicited dreadlocks. And were I a younger man, I'd keep them. But it's reached a Malcolm Gladwell issue. I can't do it. And next time it happens, and I keep losing so much hair, it's just on my scalp. Scalp, over the garbage can when I do have to brush it with a product called Cowboy Magic, which is used on animals. It's true. It takes a long time, and I have no upper arm strength. It hurts. But I just don't like to brush it. So what I do is put black, like eye pencil, all in my scalp and part. But I didn't do it really that much today because I knew I was going to sweat and I feared the Giuliani drip. So I didn't do it. I don't know if this lighting is shining off my... And I'm going deep with the side part, which is not helpful because this is very... Why? Is this not your problem? This is not your concern? What am I doing? I've only been doing stand-up since 1985. I will figure it out. I will figure out how to do it. Oh, no, that wasn't noble. That was value neutral, but thank you. 1985, that's a real year. That happened. And let me tell you something about James Spader just quickly before that. Now, I know you don't watch television, Green Mill. I know you don't watch television, especially when it's on. When the shows are on, you don't do it. So I'm still upset about the Westworld. When I was here last time, I was upset about the finale for Westworld. Couldn't discuss with them. Went, don't tell me. I can't live like that. But I guess I have to. In a world with no cash. Well, here, though, there's cash. Because Susie Orman wants you to use cash. That's right, I said it. Susie Orman, fiduciary responsibility, fiscal prudence. I like the cut of her jib. She knows what's what. I await further instructions, Susie Orman. But, actually, I'm going to go away from the dreadlocks. Forget it. Here's the wisdom. I'm so sorry. And I wrote it at the top and underlined it with a black Sharpie. And, okay. Listen to this wisdom. If you clean your bathroom every day, you never have to clean your bathroom. Take it in. If you clean your bathroom every day, you never have to clean your bathroom. It's true. My mother used to say that all the time. Unfortunately, she died young because she didn't go to college. But she did know that much. Oh, my. I almost... Oh, my. Oh, I was going to say, is it Robbie Ellis, the British gentleman, the singer? Is he here? I was going to say, oh, yeah, because of the queen. She's on bed rest. Oh, and you're getting a casino. Whether you want it or not, you're getting a new casino. And your tree was lit at 6:30 on Friday. Anyway, clean your bathroom every day. Okay, now, going from that wisdom. Now, this is not about gender. My partner happens to be male and not adhere to that. We've been together 26 years in the same one-bedroom apartment, which is really more about real estate than anything. No one's going anywhere. But as I approach life's third chapter, he needs not to be there anymore. And listen, I'm not mean. I am not irascible. He would describe me as beloved and irascible. I'm neither of those. I'd like to be beloved. Because you know that phrase, you have to love yourself first? I disagree. Others need to get the ball rolling, and then I feel I can jump in. Validation from others is vitally important to me. It really is. And because who cares if I love me? Who gives a shit, you know? But he happens to be male and messy. There are plenty messy females, they, them, those two, spirit, plus, plus, what have you. But he, and has said this, and I hate this kind of talk, this kind of domestic, yeah, Billie Eilish says duh. I said duh. They still do it. She did. I know Billie Eilish. I have the CD. That's true. I have the CD and I just recently got a second editor's CD from 2007. I love the editors. Brooklyn. Anyway, be that as it may, and I'm sorry to discuss this Mars and Venus nonsense and all of that, but I can't have it anymore. I spend an hour and 15 minutes every single day cleaning. That's the minimum with any unforeseen nonsense because of the rescue dogs and also, and he has uttered the phrase, I don't see mess. He has said that. I would never manufacture content Some people don't see color. He doesn't see mess. Except, doesn't see it. But don't touch his vaping stuff. Don't touch his stuff. He'll know, or he'll know. But pick up the bath mat. There's more hair under it, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. And what does it take to scrape the food off the plate? I can't have this conversation. I don't want to have this conversation every day. I've never wanted to be married. We're not married, but 26 years, you know, because I don't want to have to hide purchases. Is that what marriage is? How do I get this item into the home? I don't need it. I don't want it. And I've never wanted to have children because I'm risk averse. It's really that simple. I mean, the Tide Pod Challenge. Come on now. I can't have it. And yet I have acquired a husband hyphen son. And I hate that kind of talk. I really do. It's so stupid. So, but the thing is I want to be free. And I don't know what to do. On Halloween, and forgive me if I'm about to say, one of our dogs had explosive diarrhea. I'm sorry. Ate some off the street. I don't know. And I said to Pete, I need some paper towels. He gave me one. That's what I'm talking about. One. He took one off. And when he is forced to buy products for the home, total home, that nonsense, or Costco, or Kirkland. Fucking Kirkland. That a toilet paper with the center is the size of a baby's head. It's a Bounty, Scott. I'm not an elitist. I'm not a class warrior, but you know what I'm talking about. And he's a great person. He's a wonderful person. When the Sarah McLachlan Animal Rescue commercial comes on, he's like, change it. Do you see what I mean? And he's wonderful. But I have wept at night walking the dogs, looking in windows of nice apartments, thinking about what might have been. And I'm talking about bookshelves with a rolly ladder. Wayne Scott. And I feel the last time I could have maybe turned things around was 2009. And when I force myself to walk as punishment, which gets mocked, by the way, by everyone because I have flat feet and arthritis. Honestly, packs of teens in because I must walk like that. I don't know, but they have no shame in mocking it. There was no reason for me to disrupt flow for that, and then to say that. But they I just don't want, and I have created that dynamic with everyone on my floor because it's my fault. Really, this thing is my fault. I used to clean up after him all the time. And you cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. Guy Fieri said that. Or maybe it's Joseph Stalin. Who's the dictator of Flavortown? Is it Guy Fieri? But I always, you know what I mean? And my anxiety when I'm on the road of what I'm going to encounter has upset me. I'm upset about it. And my first flight, I've taken the train stuff, but my first flight was from LaGuardia to O'Hare, and it's an hour and 58 minutes. And again, and I've said this before, the non-smoking announcement, they really needn't mention it. What's it gonna say? Have you been on a flight ever in the last 20 years, possibly, or recently into, what? What do you mean I can't smoke on this flight since what? Thanks, Obama. But I've created that dynamic also with 10E and 10G on my floor. They don't break down their boxes. I may have discussed this with you before if you were here last time. They don't break down their boxes, and their recycling is madness. And now, unfortunately, Zoltan, who I have a massive crush on, from Transylvania. He's from Transylvania. He's a maintenance man in my building, Zoltan, from Transylvania. And a lot of the maintenance men in my building are from Transylvania. It's a real who you know kind of a gig. And I'm so sorry to say maintenance man, but it's a royal boys club. Maybe some of you girls will break that glass ceiling. Good luck to you. I hope you do. Maintenance. But I don't believe that Zoltan and his cohorts traveled all the way from Transylvania in the hold of a cargo ship covered in earth. Boo! Cancel! But I think that's how they travel. Transylvania. Boo, cancel. But seriously, but unfortunately, Zoli has started not properly in the common garbage, in the garbage room, that big can. he doesn't put all the sides of the garbage bag down. Do you know what I'm saying? So one is dipping, so it just takes a toss and it's all gonna come down. And I always fix it. And who is doing that right now? Who is doing that on my floor right now? The smells. And, oh, there's the light. Have you been doing that a long time? Oh, no? Okay. In summation, there was so much other stuff I wanted to say, talk about, but anyway, the 10E, as I said, and 10G, on also the day after Halloween, 10E and her boyfriend hauled in, I guess, a garbage find. They must have been drunk. You know, they're youngish and still allowed to drink, unlike me. The second intervention took. That's why Noom sticks in my craw. I don't know why Noom just reminds me of this interventions. I don't know why.
Stop it.
It was a gigantic, I guess what looked like an antique mirror or something like that. Filthy dirty. And they put it in the hallway with a note that said, "Hey, floor mates, what do you think?" So I wrote back, "It's great, but who shall hang and clean this?" That is a legitimate question. That is a legitimate question. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. Cut to third date, I went and cleaned it. And it's so upsetting to me. I have cleaned comedy club bathrooms. I truly have. Not here, not Greenmill. But it's not CBGB's or John Vivardo's. It's you gotta have nice, I mean, come on. What if you accidentally beshit a toilet baby? I know you don't watch television, but there used to be a show called I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. And every once in a while, people would accidentally have toilet babies. I'm not making that up. And luckily, they're looky-loos after the fact, because... But they always say the same thing. They're always like, I didn't know what to do. If it was your phone, you would have been there 5 fucking seconds. But it's a baby. It's a baby. You take it out and you put it in rice, I believe. Anyway, you guys have been so nice, as always. Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
That was Janine Garofalo making her 4th Paper Machete appearance. This has been the Paper Machete Audio Magazine for November 20th, 2021. Paper Machete is produced every Saturday afternoon at the Green Mill Cocktail Lounge in Chicago by Christopher Pyatt, that's me, and my co-producer Lauren Kapinski, who's really chill about running a tight ship. Our on-the-ball audio engineer, Jacob Serio, recorded and edited this podcast. We're going to close out this week's episode with one song from the metal band that headlined the show and absolutely shredded. Their name is Awful. And something tells me that Mary Steinberg would have loved them. That said, good night, Mrs. Steinberg, wherever you are.